It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Level, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm excellent. How about yourself?
Doing well. It's good to see you this morning. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send them to us three ways. You can text or email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of August, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook page. We finally picked a book by Craig Groeschel called It. It looks interesting. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new used vehicle, contact them at Barbara Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a Dodge or a Nissan or whatever. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. God, we thank you again for your word. Father, we thank you that as this was brought forth today, Father, that it will find good soil. God, I just pray that today my words would be an edification and encouragement to your body. Father, I thank you for your spirit that speaks through me. Father, I thank you that the two-edged sword that goes out and to divide, to admonish, to build us up, to equip us, God, I thank you for that. We just thank you and we praise you for all your blessings in our life, God. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. It is so good to be loved by you. So, Father, we just thank you for all the ears that are hearing today. Father, I just ask that this would go on the depths of who they are. And, Father, that it would bring transformation and renewal to their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. So I ran across a word. The word's called basileia. That is a Greek word in the word, and that is actually the word for kingdom. And God's kind of been shifting my, I guess, kind of the way he does things or I do things, whatever you want to call it, here lately, because I have always just been, my methodology of teaching has always just been, we go, we grab a chapter of the Bible, a book of the Bible, whatever, and we just read it top to bottom. That's kind of the way I've always done that. And then I just teach from that. But God's kind of been pulling me out of some different things, and I've got notes. That is highly unusual. I usually don't have notes. I usually just go in there and we read it. As I always tell people, anytime that I share the message of Christ or the Word, I always look at that as an overflow from my life. I should never be behind closed doors to prepare something to present to people. Presenting the word, the message of Christ should be an overflow of my life. If you're called into the ministry and to teaching, be careful in that, because if you don't have a relationship with God yourself, an intimate relationship with God, the word's very clear about that. There's not a whole lot of us that should be teachers. Because if we're not careful, we can get into all this business of just going in and preparing something to present. Mm-hmm. Everything that needs to be presented is already there. Go have a relationship. Go know that word of God and then just present that through your life, as he says. Just be ready to present your hope, right? So that's always my heart. So this is kind of different for me even, but God has just kind of been changing things up a little for me. And I have been writing down notes and even titles. You know, when we first started doing this radio program, you're like, what's your title today? I'm like, I have no idea. Half the time when I sit down in this chair, I don't even know what I'm about to talk about. But there's just some things that I think God has been preparing his people, and he's been speaking those things to me. And so there are particular topics over the last few weeks that I've just really been honing in on, and I want to bring some truths out of the Word in those things. And today is the kingdom of God. If I say the word or I hear the word kingdom of God, I often think about the heavenly realms, you know, like God's kingdom, like he rules and he reigns. He's the supreme one, right? And we understand even in that word kingdom, like king is the guy that's at the top of this thing, right? And we as Christians definitely see Jesus and God and Holy Spirit as that, like the top of the food chain in this whole thing, the ruler, the reigner. But what I have noticed, even just through current day circumstance, that kingdom was passed down through Jesus to the body of Christ. And that's something that I think we have lacked the understanding of, because if we didn't, we would see things differently around us in this world today. And so that is something that God has really laid in my heart, is to get down, let's get to the nitty gritty of what is the kingdom of God? What does that look like for Christians? How do we operate in that kingdom? Because, you know, we see that word. I think in my study, I pulled up on when I was looking at the concordance there. This word appears over 250-something times in the New Testament alone. So it's definitely something that's talked about a lot, but I think still we lack a good understanding. So I want to start out with a definition. So as we continue to read, we understand the word, what we're saying, right? So the word basileia is where this comes from. That's the translation for kingdom, or transliteration, rather. It means royal power, kingship, dominion, or rule. But now it notes in here, and this is like an emphasis. It is not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule in that kingdom. So for me, that changed everything. Because when we see kingdom as a noun, we see boundaries, right? We see this setup where there's like boundaries in that this is their kingdom. And we see like United States, and we see Canada, and like we look, you know, we don't use the word kingdom anymore, but if you go back in time, that's what those were, right? Those were the kingdoms that were established. And even in biblical times, there was different kingdoms that were set up. And that's kind of the way I continue to view that. But it says in that word specifically, don't be confused with the boundary kingdom, but rather focus in on it's the right and the authority that you carry. So when you see the word kingdom used in the word, it's saying this is your right and this is your authority to walk in the dominion that was given. So where do we get the dominion? Where does that even come from? Well, again, we recognize God as the supreme authority, so it must come from him if we carry it, right? So let's go qualify this in scripture. So we're going to go to Genesis 1 and 26. And what I like about this is the very first chapter in the Bible. Kingdom and dominion was established from the very beginning. It said, then God said, we're in verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So the word that's used in my translation, the New Living Translation here, is they will reign. That is also translated, they will have dominion, right? Okay, this is, I caught this just 5 minutes before I got in here when I was rereading this. First, God said, let us make humans. They will have dominion, right? So then we continue in 27. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign or have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees of your food. I have given you every green plant as food for the wild animals, the birds in the skies, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. So the second part that I want to feel about. So first he says, God says they will, right? Let us make them and they will. And then what does he say after? He says, so God created them in 28. But then what does he say in 28? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign. So that's the command. God said in the beginning, I will make them and they will. And then he made them and he said, now do it, right? He gives us the command to reign over, and he names all of these things. And what are all the things? Creation. Literally, God put us in charge of his creation. He put us to walk in a dominion and an authority in that. And what we see as we continue on through the Old Testament, man, did we mess that up big time. And even from the very beginning, what we see is the picture of the serpent comes in and usurps that authority. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He brings in deceit, right? And in that place, the word usurp, I know that's a word we don't use very often in an everyday term too, but the definition of what usurp means is that someone without the authority comes in and takes it, right? Mm-hmm. And how did he take it? It wasn't by force. It was by tricking. It was by deceiving Eve. And basically what she done in that position was she gave up that authority that we see in the very beginning was given to us, right? And he usurped that authority. He came in and took that away. And so now he became a ruler and a reigner over the earth. And we see that according to Scripture too, right? This is Satan's dominion. But what I love, when we see this through the message of Jesus Christ, is that he doesn't rule or reign over you. You're still seated above. Why? Because we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ, right? And we're gonna get to that in some of these scriptures. So let's jump into the New Testament now a little bit, and we're going to look like what this looked like. So we've established now that we've been given the authority, the dominion, the reign over the earth. So now let's jump into, we'll go to Mark 12. And if you don't have time to follow along as we do this, just write these down and then go back and read them. And as I always tell you guys, don't just go in here and read these one-offs. Go read the context around that. Read the chapters and see what that's saying in its fullness, right? Because we can always take one little scripture and we can twist it to make it whatever we want it to be. Understand what the context of what that is, and that will bring a greater understanding of the truth that's being told. Sometimes it is, we're going to focus in, just because of the sake of time, I've got probably 6 or 8 different books of the Bible here that we're referencing. So that's going to take some time to get into. But what does God tell us? It says be a student of the word, right? If you're in school, you don't just go read one line and pass the test. That's not how it works. Not that this is a test for us, but we have to gather the fullness of the word of God to get an understanding of knowing who God is. So Mark 12, we're going to go down to verse 28. And I'm going to read through 34. So this is just a preface. This is a conversation that's going on between Jesus and the religious leaders of this day. It says, one of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important commandment, Jesus replied, is listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is one and the only God, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So he puts emphasis on this is the greatest commandment of everything you walk in. Love God and love people, right? 32, the teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other, and I know it is important to love him with all my heart, all my understanding, and my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him more questions. This really caught my attention because he said, this, you're not far, which means he hadn't arrived yet, right? He said, this is the greatest commandment that there is, to love God and love people, but there's something that's more. There's something more that we have to walk in. And he did realize and understand the context of this time in Scripture was a transition. Jesus is here. It's a transition from that old covenant into this new covenant that now Jesus is going to establish. And part of that new covenant is, again, a reminder, you walk in authority. Stand up and do this thing, right? And so he was telling him, you've got the understanding of loving God and loving people, but now you're to rise up and start walking in authority that you have not realized yet. Because that's one of the things that they had done, is they thought that the authority that was given to the church was through their traditions and their ceremonies. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the truth. The truth was the authority that they were given was coming through the power of the Holy Spirit that was about to become part of their lives, right? Because we had lost that in the very beginning through the usurping of the devil gaining dominion and walking in that. We needed to understand, wait a minute, this was given to us from the beginning, and unfortunately, what we had to see was a lot of years where we had to learn that as humanity once again, mm-hmm. right? And God's plan to bring the recognition of sin in our lives. That's what the law brought. It brought the recognition. People didn't even understand what that was until the law showed up. And like, oh, that's what coveting is. Because now here's the standard, right? So it began to show us that through that. And then as the word clearly states in that, the law wasn't a failure. It was men's requirement of it. They couldn't hold it up. And that was just a revealing of our own hearts to say, you can't do this alone, right? You need something greater than you. So we're going to jump over into Matthew now. 12 again. And 28 through 30. So again, go read the context here, because there's a lot more information that gets around this. But this is actually a moment where Jesus is walking in the kingdom. He's talking about the casting out of evil spirits. And so in verse 28, we're going to start. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived. So now we see the kingdom of God in play. We're not close anymore. We see it in play, right? Casting out demons is functioning in the kingdom of God, right? Because it's authority, it's rule, it's dominion. Verse 28 or 29, for who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his good? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. So what I wanted to point out here is to understand the authority that you see Jesus walking in, and we're going to keep qualifying this through Scripture, that's what you and I are called to walk in. The very things that we've seen in his life, he gave to us so we would continue to walk in that power, in that dominion, in that authority. And what we see in current day's time is we have lost sight of that. And so what has the world done? It has taken over every level of government, every level of education, every level of the marketplace and business, right? The world's mindset, the world's agenda, even into the political realms. And now, what is that ushering in? A one world government mindset. And we see that in the word, that is what it comes to, right? We know that it comes there. But it shouldn't be because Christians have found themselves sitting on the bench and not walking in the truth of God's word, right? We know it gets there. But we should not just sit back and say, well, that's coming anyway, so I'm going to sit down and deal with it. I'm going to be as blunt as possible right there. Those are the people who will lose their way and take the mark in the end. Those will be the ones that when pressure comes that feels too great, they'll buckle and they'll say, okay. And we've seen that already happen as a test in our time. Here's some pressure. You're going to do it or you're not going to do it? Well, no. Okay, then we're going to take your job away. Okay. I buckle, right? We have to understand who we are in Christ. And in Christ, this is the thing that I love about this. We don't have to walk or stand in our own authority. Because if that's all we had, we're lacking. We're standing in the authority that was given to us by the very creator of all of this that's around us, right? And so if you're standing in that authority, think about this. I was thinking last night, what's a good natural analogy? And the best thing that I could think of is the police force. You have a chief. You have the guy that has the ultimate say, right? Mm-hmm. But as our, I'll just use a sheriff, for example. That's an easier analogy. So what the shepherd, what the sheriff can do is he carries the ultimate authority. So for our county, in Beckham County, the sheriff carries the ultimate authority when it comes to the rules of the land mm-hmm. and law. But what can he do? He can take a badge and he can deputize. And he can hand this badge and he can stick it on another man. And guess what? Now the same authority that that sheriff carries, he just gave it to that guy. So he can go out there and he can carry the same authority. Why? Because he wears the mark. Mm-hmm. He wears the mark of the sheriff to go out there. And I walk in the authority that he has given me, that the biggest guy has given me. And now I'm here to make sure that these laws are obeyed, to enforce, right? That's the same picture in the supernatural that God has given us. God has given us the ultimate authority and he has given us his mark. It's the blood of Jesus. And now we can walk in the blood of Jesus. Guess what? That means we carry all the same authority, that authority that was usurped for a moment of time. God gave it to us back through his son and said, now go walk in this. And not only that, I'm going to stick, what's the mark? It's that Holy Spirit that he sticks inside of us. And that is where we're empowered from, just like the little star that they wear on their shoulder. That's where their power comes from, right? It comes from that is put up on them. And the Holy Spirit is put up on us to walk in that authority that God has given. And what does that look like? It says, these signs will follow those who believe. Believe what? Their authority? Mm-hmm. Believe that they have it? Believe that they can walk in it? If you don't believe, guess what? You can't do it. Mm-hmm. That sheriff can stick a badge on a guy, and he can go out to a call where someone's breaking the law, and if he don't believe it, he can say, you need to stop doing that, and then say, no, I don't, and even point a gun at him and say, I'm not going to. He has to understand his authority in that moment and say, okay, you're right. You don't have to, mm-hmm. right? Or he can pull his own defense and say, yeah, you do, and I'm here to enforce. That's what the kingdom of God was established for in our lives on this earth. It was because God knew that there was an adversary that was roaming around seeking who he could devour, right? And he put his deputies on the earth and said, you know what? Don't let him do that. Stand up in his face and say, you will not. You don't have authority. You will not take this ground. I will take this ground. Something that you have fought. And what does the word say in that? If you resist him, he has to flee. Mm-hmm. That's the rules that God put down. I mean, I think about this. Go think about the story of Job. Satan came before God. And God said, hey, have you considered Job, right? Even in that moment, Satan was still under the authority of God. He could do nothing without God's permission, right? Mm-hmm. And we think that he just has all this power. We've been tricked. We've been duped, just like Adam and Eve were. We've been duped to thinking that he has all this power because he makes it look big and ugly and scary, or he makes it feel depressing and anxiety and fear. He brings in all those things, but those are only his tactics that will only make us think if we fall victim to that and say, you don't have that authority. And that's when you stand up and say, I do. I do. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. Because if you don't understand your authority, it's kind of like the deputy. If you don't understand who you are, when the enemy stands up in your face and you don't understand what you walk in, the authority that God has given you, you won't be able to enforce it. You can't. And even that, I've seen a scripture in a way I've never seen it before. So let's jump to Galatians 5. And we're going to start reading in 19 through 21. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I have heard this taught so many times in my life. If you do these things, if you walk in this list, you won't make it to heaven. You won't inherit the kingdom of God, right? That's why we needed to qualify what the word kingdom means. Do you know what this says? It says that if you live in this list, if you walk in all of these things, in sexual immorality, in impurity, in lustful pleasures, in sorcery or hostility, being mean, outburst of anger, all of those things, if I function in those things, guess what? You won't inherit what? Power and authority and dominion. That's what this is saying. Mm-hmm. This is not about on the other side. This is not about if you've lived this way, then on the other side, you won't get to the kingdom. This is about right now and what you're supposed to be functioning in. If you walk, if you choose these things, you can't walk in the power and the authority to defeat them in your life. Mm-hmm. How many times are we stuck in all of this list? Gosh, I've been trying to get away from that, but I can't. I can't get over it. Why? Because you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you're choosing those ways. You can't walk in the power and the authority that God has given you because you're not lining up to what the truth of the Word of God says. So He can't give it to you. Because what would that look like if, think about this again in the natural. If the power and the authority and the dominion was given to thieves and robbers and liars and cheaters, what would our world look like? We have a pretty good picture. You know, we have a pretty good picture. Do you see what that looks like? Why do you think God by design could not give those people supernatural power? Because it would be used in a way that would bring nothing but death and defeat and destruction to people's lives. But if you will choose, I choose different. I choose 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. If we will choose to walk in those, which are the fruits of the Spirit, right? Walk in the Spirit of God. He has empowered you by that. When you said yes to Jesus, He implanted something inside of you. And the Scripture talks about that. That's our seal, right? That's the ticket to the other side. We don't have to produce anything in our own lives to righteousness on this side. We only have to follow the truth of God's word and walk in that. And guess what? Then you're walking in the kingdom of God. And you will see, as we talked about, I can cast out demons. I can lay hands on the sick and they recover, right? Those are the things that walk in the kingdom. Look at Jesus' life. That was the kingdom modeled right before you. That was the kingdom. It was authority and power and dominion. And He gave us an example to see. And then what did He call us to? You're going to do these things too. Even greater. Mm-hmm. And what do? We look at life and circumstance and our all the things that we've been through, and we'll disqualify ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Honey, you didn't qualify you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't by anything that you did. It's that you consider what He did. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It was by the price that He paid that your life was purchased. And then we were given the power and authority to do that. Where do we see that? We're going to go to Matthew 16. Actually, this might be a good place to take a break. Does that work? Yeah. Okay, let's do that. And we'll pick up right there.
You have prayer requests?
We have a few prayer requests for this morning. First one is for Tina's cousin, Mary, who is having a knee surgery this morning due to an injury 4 months ago that hasn't healed as they had hoped. And then let's pray for a favor for Tina's daughter, Michaela, to find a job. And then let's pray for our dear sweet friend, Pam Patrick, who had a house fire last night in one of the bedrooms, and due to smoke inhalation. Yeah. Thank you. I'm like, it's not installation. I used to be heating and air installer. Excuse me, y'all. Yeah, inhalation.
Yeah.
Okay. Due to that, she had to be vented and metaflighted to Oklahoma City. Okay. So let's pray for that. And then I have a praise. Little Mia Faith Nunez had her baby, little boy, and she named him Jeremiah. Aww. He made his appearance into this world last night between 8 and 9, 8:30 and 9.
All right. Let's pray. pray. Let's lift these up before God. Father, we thank you for Mary. God, we thank you for moving. And as we're even looking at the word today, Father, part of this kingdom word was just is speaking forth the things. I just think about creation itself. The authority that God carries is through his spoken word. And so, Father, we just want to speak forth in the authority that we have today. And we just speak healing to every situation that's here. For Mary and her need, Father, we just speak healing, supernatural work in her life, Father. And for Tina's daughter, Michaela, Father, your word says that as we plan our ways, you direct our steps. And so, Father, I thank you that as she just plans her ways, as she's in search of a job, as she's looking, God, that you lead her to the one that you have for her. Because you have a plan and a purpose for our life. So, Father, I thank you that you're going to put her right where she needs to be to fulfill her purpose for what you've created her for. And, God, we want to pray for Pam who had the house fire, God. We just thank you that you're healing her body right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, that her lungs would just be clean from that smoke that penetrated last night, Father, that we would just you just come in a supernatural way and you would move in her life. We just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I have another praise report that just came to mind. So my grandchildren lost their grandmother recently, and there's been a lot of strife and hurt resulting from that death. And I began to pray and just seek God, you know, and God really showed up and showed out. He took the strife between the son and the dad, and he took the strife and anger between my two grandchildren, the granddaughter and the grandson. Because I'm not even going to lie, y'all, it's been a rough couple of weeks around her, around the Levels house, you know, I mean, just a lot. And, you know, it seems like sometimes when someone passes away, for some reason, the enemy tries to show up and take control and just lure people out into the ocean of emotion and in the arena of emotion. And the only thing I knew, I didn't know how to help them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, but God, that's all I can say, y'all, is but God. So I don't know if you're dealing with something similar to what I've been dealing with, but just know, give it to God and ask him, you know, to handle it, you know, because I was at a loss.
Right.
I was at a complete loss.
Mm-hmm.
But God really showed up.
He is faithful.
Right.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.